There's no children's worship today, so we're doing things a little bit differently. Decided rather than having one long, boring sermon, we'd have three short, boring sermons. Kind of spread it out like that. But since the boys and girls are here in service with us today, let me ask all the boys and girls that are here. Boys and girls, you remember the Wizard of Oz? Remember that movie or the story, Wizard of Oz? The Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz. What does the Scarecrow, remember, what does the Scarecrow need? What does he want from the wizard? Boys and girls? I thought I heard the moms and dads. Yeah, the Scarecrow, he's in search of a brain. Isn't it? It's kind of a sad way to go through life, isn't it? To go through life without a brain? That'd be hard, wouldn't it? Somebody once said it like this: when God was handing out brains, I thought he said trains, and I missed mine. I heard another version on that. When God was handing out brains, I thought he said trains, and I said, I want a slow one. But it's sad, isn't it? That sometimes we can be a lot like the Scarecrow. It's not that we don't have a brain. Yeah, of course we have brains. We just don't think they're welcome here or that they're needed here at church and worship. We're kind of like the Scarecrow in that way. We go through worship. We go through our Christian experience. We go through the motion, so to speak, not really thinking about what we believe, why we believe what we believe. Well, this is our focus today. Our focus today is on being believers. And I would propose that being believers, it starts here in the head. It starts in our brain, that our belief is a choice. Our belief is a decision that we make. As you know, we've set aside four Sundays, and these four Sundays we're looking at the vision statement of the Atlanta Christian Church. And it's not a perfect vision statement. It's just how our leaders got together and try to cast a picture of a preferred future. And it gives us some sense of direction about where we sense God is leading us. And so we've done this the last two Sundays. Let's do it again. I think it's just healthy as a church family. Let's go ahead and read in unison the vision statement of the Atlanta Christian Church. It's on the screens. It's also on the front page of your program. But let's read this in unison. We are a growing, multi-generational family of believers impacting our community for Christ. We started a couple weeks ago looking at the vision statement, and we looked at that concept of being a growing family of believers. And if you remember, growing has two pieces to it. It has the internal piece, that we envision a church where people are growing internally, that we're growing spiritually, we're maturing on the inside. But it also has the external perspective, that we are a growing church, that numerically, we have more and more people that are coming and surrendering to Christ, that we are a growing church. And then last Sunday, we looked at this concept of being a multi-generational family, and that we are not specifically trying to target ministry, target worship, target who we are to just one generation, but we are trying to embrace all generations, that we are multi-generational, and not just multi-generational, but intergenerational, and encourage the older generations to come alongside and to nurture and to equip the younger generations in the church. Well, today our focus is on that concept there at the end, that being of a family of believers. We are a family of, notice this, believers. We could have chosen lots of other words. We could have said we are a growing multi-generational family of attendees. Didn't choose that word. We could have said we are a growing multi-generational family of spectators. Didn't choose that word. We could have said we're a growing multi-generational family of film critics. You know, that kind of always have a criticism, a critique as to how things are going, if I like it or don't. No, very intentional. Our leaders thought it was biblical to choose the word believers. We are a multi-generational family of believers. You see, this concept, this word belief in the Bible, it has a long, rich history. And we can just scratch the surface today. In most occasions in Scripture, the two words are really used kind of interchangeably, to believe and to have faith. Our belief and our faith. In English, there's kind of a nuanced difference between belief and faith, but the underlying Greek text, it's the same family of words. To have belief, to have faith. We are believers. We hold our faith. And so what does it mean that we're a family of believers? Well, it means lots of things, but we're going to look at three this morning. And the first thing, that being a believer, like the scarecrow reminds us that this first facet of belief, it's a matter of the head. It's a decision that we make. Being a family of believers means that we have made a choice, a decision to affirm and to live by certain truth statements. This is John's point in his gospel account in John chapter 20. John has written 20 chapters talking about primarily kind of stringing together the life of Jesus around some of the main miracles that he did. And he's starting to wrap up his book here in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Notice what John says. He says, Jesus performed many other signs. I've just given you a few, he says. But Jesus performed many other miracles in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. I've just told you a few of them, he says. Verse 31, but these are written. Why? So that you may believe. And then he tells us very specifically what we should believe. That you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. You see, one facet of being a family of believers is that we affirm certain truths, namely, Jesus of Christ, who is a historical person, is the Messiah, that's Hebrew, Christ is Greek, same word, that Jesus is the Christ, He is a promised Savior. This same Jesus is the very Son of God. This is why often when we do a baptism, often we will share together what's called the confession of faith. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You see, publicly professing this to be true, to say, I believe this in my head. I choose this truth claim that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus is the promised Messiah. I claim this Jesus as Lord of my life. Making that's what makes us a family of believers. And so facet number one, being a family of believers, it's a matter of our head. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this reminder that belief, it starts in our head. It starts with the decision that we make that your Son is our Savior, the Messiah of the world. And it's in His name we pray. Amen. So, boys and girls, going to give you another chance here. Boys and girls, the scarecrow is looking for a brain. How about the Tin Woodsman? What was he looking for? I heard a heart. Yeah, right there. You got it. He's looking for a heart, wasn't he? You see, the Tin Man reminds us that our belief, it is a matter of the head, but the Tin Man reminds us it's much, much more. That our belief, it's a matter of the heart as well. Yes, belief is all about making a choice. It means I make a mental assent to a certain truth statement. But belief in the New Testament is so much richer. It's so much fuller. It's so much more than just accepting certain truth claims with our head, as important as that is. And so this is the premise of the entire book of James. If you haven't read through James for a while, maybe just reread through the book of James, because James' premise is that our belief, our faith, it's more than just what goes on in our head. It's more than just making a decision whether or not I accept Jesus. But our belief, our faith, it must actually give rise to action. It must be deeply embedded within our heart. Perhaps James makes the point most clearly in chapter 2, verse 19. He looks at the church and he says to the church, he says, you believe that there's one God. Don't you just so proud of yourself that you believe in one God? You believe these certain truth statements, and he goes on, you know what? Even the demons believe that and shudder and tremble. You see what James is telling us? Yes, it's very important to believe certain truth claims. It's very important to believe that Jesus is God's Son. It's very important to believe that Jesus is the Christ. It's very important to believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world. But just believing these truths in our head is not enough. Even the demons believe that Jesus is God's Son. Even the demons believe that Jesus is Messiah. What's the point? The point is belief. It is something we do with our head, but it's so much more. It's something we do with our heart as well. I think this is Paul's point in Romans 10. Notice what Paul says in Romans 10, verse 8. He says, the word is near to you. It is in your mouth, but it's not just in your mouth, Paul says. It's also in your heart. This message concerning the faith that you proclaim. He says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Well, that's a part of the brain, right? Declaring that Jesus is Lord, you declare that with your mouth. And he goes on to say, and you believe in your head? No. James says, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you'll be saved. For it is with your heart, Paul says, that you believe. Yes, he assumes we all know it's with our head that we believe, that we make decisions. He's just driving it deeper. It's not just with our head. He says it's with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. He says these two things go hand in hand, our head and our heart. What's the point? The point is our faith, our belief. It's a matter of the heart. We don't just accept Jesus. We love Jesus. We don't just agree to certain truth claims about Jesus. We place our heart into his hands. We fall into his arms. We're like a child going to our father, going to our mother with love. I remember when, you know, my kids were little and I'd been gone for a couple days and, you know, or even just a day, you know, and show up in the evening and one of my, you know, little ones, maybe 3 years old, come running, daddy's home, arms up high. They don't do that anymore, I don't know. But when they were little, you know, they come running with their arms up, daddy's home. Now, parents, what do? Your child comes running to you, arms up in the air, daddy's home. What do, parents? Put your arms down, you little charismatic. No. Yep. Right? You embrace them. You love them. You connect. You abide. The point, being a family of believers, it's more than the fact that we agree on certain truth claims. Being a family of believers, it means together we love Jesus. We don't just simply know facts about him. Even the demons do that. But we love him. We trust in him. We lean into him. We seek to abide in him. We seek to grow in him. We seek to become more and more like him. Our heart gets bigger and bigger. Unlike the Grinch, remember his heart got small? Our heart gets bigger and bigger. Full of Jesus. What does it mean to be a family of believers? Well, first of all, it means we agree to certain truths about Jesus with our brains. But perhaps more important, it means we love Jesus wholeheartedly with our hearts. We love him. We surrender to him. We sacrifice for him. We are believers with our heads and our hearts. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this reminder that our belief, our faith, it's not just a matter of the head, but it's emotional response. It's a matter of the heart. As we love you, we abide in you. In Christ, amen. Okay, boys and girls. Belief, the Tin Man, or the Scarecrow, reminds us that our belief is a matter of what? Our brain, that's right. And somebody's jumping ahead over there. The Tin Man reminds us that our belief is a matter of our heart. Well, there's one more character. Who's the third character? the lion, that's right. So we just have three. It's good thing we didn't go with the seven dwarfs this morning. Just the three, all right? The lion reminds us that believing in Jesus, it's more than the matter of our head. It's more than the matter of our hearts. The lion reminds us that Jesus, it's a matter of trusting with our very lives. Remember the lion, he was looking for courage, right? He was like, where do I place my trust? Where do my belief, it's more than just what's in my head or my heart, but how do I express, how do I live out my belief? And so the lion reminds us that our belief is a matter of trusting Jesus with our very lives. Matter of fact, this is another nuanced part of the concept of belief. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of courage, if you will. Courage in Jesus, or trusting in Jesus, a courage or a trust that Jesus will direct our lives, a courage or a trust that Jesus will protect our lives, a courage or a trust in Jesus that He will give us eternal life. Now, I've used this illustration before, but I think it's worth repeating. I could tell you, don't shout out yet, but I could tell you that I believe that there is a chair right there. I believe it in my head. I've come to the mental decision, the clarity of mind. I believe that there's, and not only do I believe it with my head, but I feel it in my heart that there's a chair there. I feel it. I feel that this, it just feels right to me. I love this chair that's there. I know it with my head. I feel it. I love it with my heart. So if I tell you that I believe with my head and my heart that there's a chair there, you're going to tell me what? Let me hear it all at once. Go sit in it, right? Sit in it. If you really believe a chair is there with all your head and all your heart, if you really believe that, do you have the courage, if you will? Do you have the trust, if you will, to sit in it? That's really what belief is about. It's not just what we think in our head. It's not even just what we do with our heart. But it's, that's the courage piece. Do I have the courage to place my trust in the one that I said that I believe with my head and believe with my heart? Remember that passage we looked at from John when John's kind of wrapping up his gospel? He says, I've told you all about Jesus so that you may believe that He's the Messiah. You may believe that He's the Son of God. He doesn't conclude there. He says, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. It's not just a matter of the head. It's not just a matter of the heart. It's a matter of our very lives that we're placing our trust in Him. When the same John, when he's writing his epistle in John, 1 John chapter 5, He says, I write these things to you who believe. Believe with your head. Believe with your heart. Believe with your lives. He says, I'm writing these things to those, the family of believers, the family of faith, in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. He says, that's the trust that we're placing in Jesus. That's the courage that we're placing in Him, that He gives us life eternal. You see, being a family of believers, it's a matter of the head. It's a matter of the heart, but it's also a matter of our very lives, where we place our trust, in whom do we place our courage, if you will. So what should we do? What difference does that make? Well, people have asked that question through the years. It's the same question that they asked Peter on the day of Pentecost. The scripture says that they believed with their heads. They were, they were believing what Peter said. They were struck in their hearts. And so they ask, what should we do? And Peter says, here's what you should do. You need to repent. What's that mean? That means I'm turning away. I'm turning away from living for myself. I'm turning away from the emptiness of this world. I'm turning away from the hurt and the heartache and trying to figure this stuff out all by myself. I'm turning away from decisions that are making me farther and farther from God. It says it means I'm turning to Him. I'm trusting in Him. Not only that, Peter says you need to be baptized, exactly what we're celebrating here with these three this morning. He says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, that we are trusting in Him, that He will make us, squeaky clean? Squeaky clean. That I trust Him, I have the courage to to trust in Jesus that he will remove my sin and my shame. And he says, and then we'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, that's more than the head. That's more than the heart. That's about our entire lives, the entirety of our life. That we are living for him. We're placing our trust fully and completely in him. Remember when I was a kid, my home preacher shared this story. I hope I get it right. He was saying when his son was very little, like 2, 2.5 years old, they used to play a game. He'd take his son, 2.5, whatever, year old son, and he'd set him up on the countertop. And he'd stand back. This is a game you play when mom's not at home. Right? Put him on the countertop, and he'd step back about 2 or 3 feet from the countertop, and he'd put his arms out like this. And his little son would see daddy put his arms out like that, and next thing, his son would just slap it into high gear, running at full speed, pitter-patter, 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 all the way across the counter. He'd get right to the edge of the counter, and he'd take that leap off the counter, and dad would grab him, and he'd go, whee, and dad would grab him in the air. Now, you can't ever just do that once, right? It's again. So he'd walk back, and he'd put his son back, and he'd get back into place. He'd open his arms, pitter-patter, 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 whee! Boom, catch him. Again, he'd put him back, pitter-patter, 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 whee! Boom, he'd grab him in his arms. Well, he shared one time that he was playing the game with his son. Mom's not at home. It's a storm outside, thundering lightning. He put his son, they'd already done it a couple times. He put his son up on the counter. He stood back 2 or 3 steps, stood back. And as soon as he put his arms out like this, there was a lightning strike that took out the power and the kitchen went completely dark. Completely dark, pitch black. And then he hears, pitter, patter, pitter, patter, pitter, patter, pitter, patter. Whee! And he reached into the darkness and he embraced his son in midair, in the dark. That's what it means to be a family of believers. Not just that we believe with our head, not just that we feel it with our heart and believe it with our heart, but like the lion, we have the courage, we have the trust to believe in Jesus with our entire lives, so that we too can go running when life is dark, in those dark seasons, when it just feels like everyone is against us, when we've messed up, when we've hurt so many people, that we can run and we can jump pitter-patter, pitter-patter in the dark and say, "Wee," and be fully embraced because we trust in our God. And then Jesus will take us, kind of like Dorothy, he will take us home. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this reminder that being a family of believers, yes, it's a matter of our head. If we don't get past there, nothing else happens. But it's more than that. It's a matter of our heart loving you. Full of devotion for you. But even beyond that, it's a matter of trust. It's a matter of courage. It's a matter of jumping into your arms and trusting that you will be there, not just now, but you will be there forevermore, for which we are eternally grateful. In Christ we pray. Amen.